as I go. Just to give you a little context about the podcast, originally I called it Nile Saga, but now I'm calling it In the Hilla. And the word Hilla is an Arabic word for neighborhood. So it's just pretty much in the neighborhood. Pretty much when I got the idea for it, I was thinking about like issues that I saw within our own community. So today in the US, the average Black family's income on a yearly basis is about 42 to 43K. So when you're in a low income neighborhood, it's very hard to see people in professions such as like engineering or like entrepreneurship, medicine, things like that. And I want to use this podcast to serve as an example to just kind of talk to folks about their journey as well as how they got to where they are, how other folks might be able to kind of like follow in their footsteps or just take some sort of piece of advice from their journey. And more importantly, also highlight the adversity and challenges they overcame and what tips or recommendations you might have on like overcoming the adversity or like challenges you faced as well. So yeah. Just to kind of get started off, one thing I like to do is always like start out with people's like upbringings. I always think like it has a huge role in shaping people to be who they are now. So just out of curiosity, or before we even go that route, just a quick like background on yourself, your name, your business, and then after that we'll dive into it.
Okay. Yeah. So so my name's Kobe Lomax, and you just had like some background. So I grew up in Virginia Beach. I'm still in Virginia Beach, but I do plan that at the end of next year, 2021, I plan on moving to Los Angeles to like really go all in pursuing entertainment. So that's like something I'm like super excited and like working really hard to get, you know, to get to now. But I grew up in Virginia Beach. Actually, my parents ran a really successful trucking company when I was growing up. So like growing up from like as young as I could remember, probably like 4 years old, 3 years old to the time I was like 8 or 9, my parents were running a business. So that's kind of what I grew up looking at, you know, and it was a really...
You were always exposed to entrepreneurship as a child.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then on top of that, it was like a really, really successful business. Like, really. So, like, we lived, like, very lavishly, you know, like, we had the biggest house on our block, all that stuff, you know, it was...
Did you use the opportunity to actually, like, get your hands into business and actually, like, get involved at that young age as well?
So, not really, because they ran a trucking company and I was so young, you know, but I always wanted to go to work with my dad. Like, I remember he would get up at 3 a.m. every day to be out of that door by 4 so that he could get to the truck site and make sure that all the trucks are up by 6 or by 5 so that when his employees came in at 6, like, they could just get going. And I remember getting up with him at 3 a.m. wanting to go to work, but I had to go to school, you know? And I'm, like, 6 years old at this point. But it was like kind of a dangerous area for kids to be around just because they were driving these huge trucks, you know? But here and there, like if it was like an easy day or like a weekend or something, like I would go, you know, be able to go to the truck site with him and like barely understood anything, but I was able to like sit in the trucks and like, you know, all that stuff. So I kind of did that as a kid.
Your parents are still doing it right now?
No. So in 2008, with the economy crash that happened then, the business tanked too because they only had government contracts. So they didn't diversify, you know. So that hit us really hard, you know. And like our whole life turned upside down. Like literally like 180.
What was that transition like for y'all?
You said what?
What was that transition like for y'all?
Yeah, so we ended up having to, sell our house that we grew up in, you know. So we had to sell the house. We ended up moving to like this apartment complex. That was my first time ever living in an apartment. Like, and I really thought that like before we moved, like I was like 8 years old at the time. I was telling all my friends like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be living like Sweet Life with Zach and Cody. That was what an apartment was, you know.
Little did you know.
But I literally like I just didn't know. I wasn't exposed to it, you know. But so moved there. I think the hardest challenge for me was like living in this new area, like going to this new school where there were a lot of people who looked like me, but I didn't fit in with them, you know, because of the way I grew up, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was the biggest challenge for me. But as you said, you know, a lot of people in our community, like aren't exposed to entrepreneurship. For me, I was, you know, so like it was always like, it just seemed normal for me you know? And I think to your point, like that should be the way it is for all of us, you know?
What was your biggest takeaway from that experience?
Honestly, and I tell my parents this all the time, like I'm actually really glad that all that happened because I am so comfortable in every situation, any setting. I'm comfortable around all types of people. I've been in so many settings where I know someone else in my shoes might be like, I don't belong here. Now I'm like, hey, you know, like I'm so comfortable in so many different settings because I grew up and went through so many different settings, you know? So, that was like the biggest takeaway for me, out of that like whole situation growing up.
That's dope, bro.
Yeah.
You also mentioned at the beginning, you're in Virginia right now, and you're looking to move to LA.
Yeah.
What's your reasoning for wanting to move to LA?
So I went to Los Angeles for my 21st birthday this past December, yep. And I literally just fell in love with it. LA, like, I feel like it had my name on it. Like, when I was there, like, I was just so, like, I don't know. I just felt so, like, this is where I need to be, you know? So that was a big part of it. But then two, I have my YouTube channel and everything, and right now I'm running the candle company, but my goal is within the next—
What's your channel called
for it's just my name, Kobe Lomax.
Okay.
But so my goal is to I have the candle company right now. My goal is to build the company to the point where I can work it remotely. So the biggest like challenges over my head right now are getting the manufacturing and getting fulfillment outsourced. Because once I get those—
How'd you get the idea for your business?
You said what?
How'd you get the idea for your business?
Oh, yeah, so pretty much, situation happened, we ended up having to move, and I wasn't getting allowance anymore. So, because we didn't have the money anymore. So I started walking dogs, make some money. That was how like my first like piece of entrepreneurship. And then when I got to high school, I took this class called Intro to Entrepreneurship, and in that class we learned how to start a business. So after that I was just like, I could do this, like, you know, I kind of already did it, you know, with my dog walking business. So I just went on Google and I was looking up like businesses for 15-year-olds, businesses for high school students, like, you know, looking up stuff like that. And I came across candle making, it seemed pretty cool. So I was like, hey mom, dad, I want to start a candle business. My mom thought I was crazy, but my dad was excited. And so they told me that if I put together a business plan, they would give me the money I needed. So I did that. And then my dad gave me $200, and that was how it all started.
That's amazing. Yeah. And fast forward to today, where are you at now with your business?
So right now it's been growing. Last month we tripled in 1 week what we were making per month couple months. So it's crazy. It was like, it was insane. But so it's been growing. And like I said, right now my biggest focuses are outsourcing the manufacturing and fulfillment. And so right now where a lot of my energy is going to is getting that volume up to where a manufacturer will even look at me, you know, and be like, all right, cool. Let's, you know, cause right now it's like
everything home right now.
Yeah. In my garage. I have a lab at school. So my school is really big on entrepreneurship. And so we have these like workspaces where like students can like rent them. It's free, but like you claim a space in there, like a room, you know? And so I have a pretty big space at my school where I run my business, but you know, with COVID they like kicked everybody off campus, so they told me like I couldn't be there anymore, so I had to, or for now, once we get back to the semester normally, but you know, I'll be back in there. But right now they're like, yeah, nobody's allowed on campus, so I had to bring all my stuff home, all that equipment, and put it in my garage. So right now I'm working out of my garage, but normally I'm working out of like a pretty spacey space at my university.
That's dope. And right now we're currently doing the Startup Bootcamp together for Future Founders. Out of curiosity, how'd you hear about Future Founders?
So I actually, in 2018, I believe, I was doing a lot of pitch competitions and like winning a lot of them. So what ended up happening was someone had recommended me apply for the Future Founders pitch competition, and I don't know why I didn't. And so then this year I was like, all right, cool, let me check out the competition, see if like it's still going on, if I can maybe try to apply apply for it now. And then I knew that now, because the competition is in Chicago, I believe, and I live in Virginia. So before I would have had to like figure out how I'm going to get there. Now, my mom works at the airport, so I can fly free anywhere. So I was like, bet, I have literally nothing to lose. So I went on their website, and then I saw that they, while I was looking for the pitch competition, I saw they had this other program. So I was like, oh wait, this actually sounds really cool. So I just applied, and then I applied and I was kind of just like, all right, well, we'll see how that goes. And then like they called me back like, oh hey, you know, you're in. So I was like, oh wait, what? You know, so that was how I found out about that. I just was looking to apply for the pitch competition again, and then
that's dope. You also, so you mentioned a lot for you growing up, you were really interested in entrepreneurship, but at the same time you said your reasoning for wanting to move to LA is to do entertainment. So growing up, did you picture yourself wanting to do entertainment, or was it just you only saw yourself wanting to be an entrepreneur?
Yes and no, depending on when growing up is. So pretty much I was always a performer all my life. Literally, my grandma had stories of like, we would be on the, all my family's from New York, and she's like, we'd be on the subway and I'd just be like talking to everybody, like, and trying to do dance or show everybody my new toy or something. Like, literally, that was how it was all my life as growing up as a kid. And then I danced competitively from middle school to high school. And that was like, it's something about this, it being showtime, like, and me like being on stage, like it just does something. Like, I literally feel like the best feeling. Like,
you, sure, what is it?
I really don't know. I think it's just like, it's like, the best way I can say it is like showtime. Like, even like today, like I speak at like local high schools and stuff like that, and even at my college sometimes. And like every time, it's like I feel like a totally normal person beforehand, and as soon as I step out onto that stage or into the like classroom or something, like it's like I'm on, you know. And like it just it's just like feeling that, like, I can't even explain it. So I love performing. But when I got to high school, and like kind of coming out of middle school and into high school, nobody, like, and this is something that I don't want to say it bothers me, but I wish that it was different this way. But every time people ask, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? The options are never run a business or, you know, be an actor, be a singer, be a dancer. It's always like firefighter, doctor, lawyer, policeman. Like, you know, like, and it's like, how am I supposed to know that I can actually do this as a career if nobody, you know, if it was never an option?
Yeah, so the
idea of me like entertaining, you know, period, was just kind of off the plate, you know, from like middle school up throughout high school. And then, but my dad always used to tell like me and my brother, and my sister, he would always tell us like, anything you want to do, you can. Like, literally, I don't care how big it is. I don't care what you think you're not capable of. Like, if you really, really, really want to do that, you can, you know. And for some reason, he told us that literally all our life. Like, almost, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a tattoo of that, you know, like, how much he said it. But it's like, I don't know, about a year ago, like, that started playing in my head again, you know. And then I just started being like, wait, why not? You know, like, why not? You know, literally. And so I was like, you know what? I really love to entertain. I really love to perform. And then this past semester, I took a class called Acting for the Camera. And the professor, he's an actor. He's like in like a lot of movies. He's in a lot of stuff on Netflix. Like, he's in the show Ozark. And like, he does a lot of cool stuff. But he's like, I want people, he said, so many times people in like theater program, they learn how to perfect their skill. They become great actors. Like, they learn all this great stuff, but they don't learn the business. They don't learn how to go start working. And so they graduate with all this skill, but don't know what to do next, you know? And he was like, I want you to leave my class and be able to go start working. So he taught us all about the business of entertainment. And like, literally, I was like, this is what I'm doing, period, end of story, you know? So I just love it. So
what's your degree in? Or like, so coming to college, what did you decide to go into?
So I actually got accepted to my college as an engineering major. And before I even got here, I changed that because My mom really wanted me to be an engineer. It was just like, nope, that is not for me at all. Like,
what did you switch to, and what was that conversation like? Was that like hard for you to?
No, it wasn't. Actually, it wasn't. I switched to marketing. At my school, I was in the Academy for Engineering and Marketing. It was very obvious that I didn't like the engineering classes. Like, I literally had C's in the engineering classes and A's in my marketing classes. And so it was very clear that I had, that I was interested in the marketing classes. And like, I got accepted for engineering, but I really just didn't want to do it. And so, I was just like, you know, I think I want to switch to marketing. And she's like, you sure? And then I was like, yeah. And she's like, all right, well, you got to think about like what jobs are available and stuff like that. So then I went on Google and I just looked up, because I think she had, you have in your mind like these careers that pay really well, but like a marketing manager makes more than a starting engineer, you know, like, yeah, and once I showed her that, she was like, oh, okay. You know? So then I switched. And then funny thing happened was, the way my standing graduating from high school, I had received from my college, I think it was like an $8,000 scholarship for me going into engineering. When I changed my major, I ended up losing that scholarship because it was for engineering, but I got a $16,000 scholarship to go into school of business.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Interest.
So that was a switch. And then about a year ago, actually, from now, I switched to theater because I was like, I got into marketing thinking like, all right, cool, I'm going to learn marketing so I can use it for my business to grow my business. But the stuff you learn in a college marketing course is not like startup marketing, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to go get a job at Target,
like Fortune 500, like marketing type stuff.
What do I do? You know, like it's all about that. It's nothing dealing with the startup, and then a lot of the information is like outdated, and it just is not. I was like, I am not paying for this, you know.
It's funny you say that. A lot of information we actually do learn in college tends to be outdated, and it's almost like, how do colleges still maintain such high value if that's the case?
Yeah, well, you know,
you're coming there for that type of content.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's because there's so much work that has to go into creating a curriculum for any course. And when it comes to marketing specifically, like, for example, there's a class that has called social media marketing. Yeah. And the class is based off of the textbook. The textbook does not have a single thing about Instagram in it.
Really?
Because how long does it take to write a textbook? It's going to take them forever to write the next textbook. And by then, the next social media platform is going to be out. And like, you know, so it's just like the way
the one about Instagram comes out, TikTok will have taken over, and then will come out.
It's like the amount of time that it takes to get a curriculum created and pass it through and all that stuff, it's too long to keep up. And so it's always going to be outdated.
It's insane. Yeah. Out of curiosity, what do you typically do? How you spend your time outside of school?
So I just started this new schedule. I work for 12 hours a day, and work consists of like schoolwork, my business, my YouTube channel, and I also have a part-time job at my university.
Yeah.
So pretty much. My days consist of those from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and sometimes a little longer if I'm like really in the mood. I'm like last night, I just wasn't tired. I just wanted to keep working, so I just kept going.
A lot of energy, bro. Where you get all that from?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, literally, my siblings are not like this at all. I don't know. So that's normally what it looks like. I get up normally around like 5:30, and then I take up like 2 hours just to like chill, relax, like just get my mind clear for the day, like all that stuff. And then at 7 a.m. I normally start like working, and then I just like work till 7 p.m. And then normally at that time I'm like, all right, cool, you can stop for the day. Like, let's look at what we got for tomorrow, and then like watch a movie or play with my dog or something, just to chill.
Yeah, you gotta have that balance in there somewhat.
Well, yeah, because what I noticed when I didn't have like set times that I was working was the times that I wasn't working, I was like beating myself up for not working.
Yeah. Did you ever experience burnout?
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
How did you recover from that? Or at first, were you even not even like realizing, you just kept pushing?
So
now for me, when I first like kind of got to school, it was just like, even when I'd burn out, I'd still try to keep pushing rather than realizing to myself, like, if I take a break, I'll be a lot more productive.
Yeah. So one time I was actually going to quit the candle company. It's like a year. Really? I literally was like done. I was like, nope, absolutely not. Finished, done, on to the next thing. A lot of it was just me being in my mind. Like, I would go to a pitch competition and like this, there would be a company who, this guy's creating this machine that can like cure a whole disease. And I'm like, I just have candles. And I got to this place in my head where I was like, this is literally worthless compared to you, right? And so once I stopped doing that, I actually went to this like sales and communication and influence training, and they really helped you buy into your own thing, and like that helped out a ton. And so but yeah, there was a point in time where I was like, I'm done with the candles, like I don't want to do this anymore. Like there was a point in time where I was like, I wanted to like let it go. My mom was like, no, don't do it. I was like, well, mom, you take it then. And so she did for a little while. Like my mom was like running it, even though she wasn't really doing much, you know, with it, but it was like hers for the time.
When I did my first pitch competition, and this is my first time, I'm like real nervous. I'm not sure if like I'm gonna do good or whatnot. And like the first companies I see is like, one's an IoT hardware company for the beer industry, and they're already like in 22 countries, and like I'm just getting started.
Yeah, right.
And one's like an AI company that's doing logistics, and they have like all these research grants, and I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. Like when you're having those type of thoughts, so like you were just saying you're having those moments, what kind of helped you get over that hump of understanding like, okay, like yes, they're doing their own thing, but at the same time, I'm doing my own thing. What works for them is not what works for me.
Yeah, so the biggest thing was, the thing that really helped me the most, like get out of that but keep it, was like going to that training and getting bought in on my own thing, right? Like, and the way they broke it down to me was like this. It was like, okay, what you have is valuable, otherwise people wouldn't give you money for it. That was like, I was like, duh. You know, like, and that, it was like, just like, wow, like literally, you know? And so that was the big thing. And then they helped you like clarify like the value that you're giving your customers, because then you can communicate that so that they understand what you have and they want what you have, you know? And so like really just like spending some time to think about that. Like, what is my customer want? And like, what do they get out of what I have, you know? And so that is something that they would want, you know? So for that,
how are you able to figure that out for your business?
By reading bad reviews. I went on a bunch of candle after that training. I was like, all right, what is my value? Like, you know, I have candles, but like I don't really know what that is. And so one thing that helps out a lot is, if you know, the more you know, the more confident you will be talking about your thing, you know? So like literally I was like, just spend a little bit of time every day learning something about your thing, right? So like for me, I would spend time learning about candles. And I found out that, you know, the reason why candles can like help you calm is because the kindling of the flame, like in our, like we have this thing, it's called the lizard brain or the crocodile brain, what some people call it. I don't remember the science term, but like the simple term is a lizard brain. And pretty much that's like our fight or flight brain. Like, you know, like from like way, 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 way back when we had to like survive, you know, in the wild. And so the kindling of a fire, fire meant like warmth. Fire meant this is where we're settling down for the night. Fire meant like this is where we're gonna all come together. Like, there's something for us as a species with fire that makes you feel calm and cozy and comfortable. And that's why candles are like, you know, and now I can say that, you know, like now, and I know that now, you know, I didn't know that before, but like, you just, the more you know about your thing, like the more confident you are with being able to like tell people like what you have and the value that they get from it.
That's amazing. So how many years total have you been working on the company?
You said what?
How many years total have you been working on the company? To like,
So I started in 2015. I was a sophomore in high school. So it's been like five years now.
That's amazing. And if you don't mind me asking, how are you doing revenue-wise right now?
Yeah, so like I said, it tripled literally in a week what we're doing a month. So just for some like, context. So January 2020 coming in was when I was kind of like, all right, I'm gonna pick this thing back up, like I'm gonna actually do it, you know, all that good stuff. So then February was zero, because I was like getting, I'm sorry, January. January was zero because I was like getting back into it. Like, all right, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to figure it out. I was like figuring out like how I wanted to do the branding and the messaging and all that stuff. So January was zero. Then February, March was like 390, 360. Like 1 month was 391, 1 month was 360 something. And then March was the month where I hit like $1,200 because I had got a coach, I hired a business coach, and she helped me put together a marketing plan that, because before I was kind of just like here and there, like posting something, you know, and she like really helped me like create a like concrete like plan that would help to create revenue. And then I just did it. I just did the work, you know, after I knew what to do, I just did it. And so, and that really helped out a lot. And now, I just hit $1,000 for this month. My goal is 2,000. So I have like, 8 days to get to 2,000, but I hit 1,000 in a week last week. So, I mean, not last week, the last week of April. So I can do it. You know, I can do it.
That's awesome. Outside of revenue, what are your goals for the company?
The biggest thing is to get the manufacturing outsourced. That's the biggest thing because that will enable me to work from anywhere. So then I can make my move. Like that's moving to Los Angeles is the biggest goal of everything, you know? And then all the other things like make that happen. So like growing Ardent to where, so I can work remotely, growing the revenue so that I can pay myself so that when I move to LA, I don't have to go find a job, you know, like,
have a system like a sustainable source of income.
Yeah, it's my income. Yeah, so like LA is the big goal, and then everything like building out Ardent and continuing to grow my YouTube channel, like graduating and like all that stuff helps me get there. So,
what advice do you have for young Black entrepreneurs that are looking to just start a business right now?
I would say find some problem that you can solve, and it doesn't have to be like, it literally doesn't have to be anything crazy. It literally just has to be a problem that can be solved. Like for me, when I first started the candle company, I was just starting a business because I wanted to start a business. So it was a struggle in the beginning because I wasn't really solving a problem. Then I identified a problem by going to, which this is a tip that some of you can use, going to other candle sites and looking at the bad reviews. I looked at the bad reviews, and what I noticed was a lot of people were saying the candle smells great, but when I burn it, I can't really smell it. Like even if I put my nose up to the fire. So, okay, cool. With my candles, when you burn them, it literally scents up your whole space. So that's literally what I say now. Like we make scented candles with high fragrance loads. So the scent fills your room. And literally people are like, oh my God, I need that because I had that candle and I couldn't smell it. And I know that, you know, but when I say that to them, they're like, oh, how did you know? Yeah. And like, I'm solving their problem now, you know? And that literally, like, it's so crazy, the shift. Like, I'll literally, someone asks, what do you do? And I tell them, and they're going to buy candles right away. Where if I just said, you know, I have a candle business, oh, that's cool. But I'm solving their problem now. So now they want it, and they're willing to pay for it. So that's the biggest thing, right? And then that would be the biggest thing. And then the next thing is, once you, like, figure out what problem you want to do, validate it. Figure out if people actually want it, because what you hate to do is build something that nobody wants. And I did that for a while. For a while, I was making these candles that, like, they looked good enough to eat. So, like, a candle that looked like blueberry cheesecake and, like, strawberry shortcake, all that stuff. And they were so cool. They were really cool. Everybody told me they were cool, but nobody was buying them, you know? And, like, I did get a couple sales here and there. But, like, they weren't buying them like they are now, you know? And it's because, like, I didn't really check to see, okay, is this really what anybody wants, you know? And so once I figured out what they want, you know, they just want to be able to smell their candle when they burn it, you know? And after that, I just, you know, it took off. It started taking off, yeah.
How did you think of the name?
So the name has changed a lot, but
what was it when you first started?
When I first started it was called Wild Goods. And I actually, it's so funny because this lady who she had like, so when I had first started the company, she used to put on this really big fashion show in my area. I mean, huge. And I met her and she let me like have a free table at her show. And these tables are like $300 a piece. And she just let me have one, you know, she just wanted to support me. And so yesterday, I'm sorry, 2 days ago, she bought a candle. She bought a candle like, I think it might have been like 5 days ago. She got the candle though in the mail 2 days ago. And she posted a video on Facebook and Instagram. And she posted a picture of me in 2015 at that freaking event. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, I came such a long way. Oh, I'm sorry. The first name was Luxuria Candle, and then it changed to Wild Goods. And then after that, I don't even know what was next. And I know one of the names was like, it was Eco Magic, and then it was Wax Magic, and then now it's Ardent Candle. And yeah, it's been through a lot. But the way I came up with Ardent was I was at this event, and this guy was like, and at the time the company was called Wax Magic. And the guy was like, what's the meaning of this name? I was like, it doesn't really have one. It just sounds cool.
That's a great point though. Like, I feel like there's a lot of folks right now, like when they're in the branding stage, they might spend 20 to 30 days just working on a name. Whereas you're just like, I changed it. And like in that one day, I'm already doing like marketing, yeah, sales and like everything else.
Yeah. So I had originally just named it Wax Magic, and the guy was like, well, maybe you should create something that like just means a little something, you know? And at first I was like, how are you going to tell me what's the name of my business? You know, I thought about it a little bit more. I was like, you know what? He's actually right. Like, this name literally doesn't mean anything. It, you know, I just threw it on there. So now I'm stressing out, like, what should I call my business? What should I call my business? What should I name my business? And this one guy, he was like, don't think about it too hard. She's going to hit you one day. And I'm like, that is not what I'm trying to hear right now. I need a name, you know? So then it literally hit me. So I was on Google and I was just looking up like cool words. Literally, I just typed that in, cool words. And I was reading some of them and I came across Ardent and I was like, oh, this sounds like a cool word. So I looked it up and Ardent means passionate or enthusiastic, but in archaic language, it means burning or glowing. And so I was like, that's it. Like,
it just put you at that point. You're like, this is the one.
Yeah, so then I just put candle behind it, and yeah.
How valuable has it been for you to have like a network of entrepreneurs outside of Future Founders?
Yeah, well, so Future Founders specifically, it's been pretty good. I think it's been pretty inspiring to be able to like, on almost a weekly basis, like be able to get back in the zone, you know. So that's been pretty good. But yeah, that honestly, I think the biggest thing like for me was like having a business coach. You know, I was telling you, I hired this girl. Her name is Tu. She owns a company called Bojin Mom. Uh-huh. They make breast pump cushions. So apparently, breastfeeding is painful, and so the cushions make it not painful. And so she created that because she was like, her breastfeeding situation was very uncomfortable. So she created Bojin Mom. She created those cushions. Her company today does like $65,000 a month. And wow. Yeah, and she like works like 5 hours a week, you know, like on her business. And so now she's like, she's pretty much outsourced so much of her original company. So now her big thing is like, she's like, I want to teach these other startup entrepreneurs how to get here, because when I was here, I didn't know what to do, and it took me 4 years to get where I'm at today. And she's like, I want to teach other people how to do that so much faster. And so I actually met her at that sales training that I was talking about, and then I have her as my coach. We meet once a week on Monday. And honestly, having her, like, just to be able to every single week on a weekly basis be like, all right, this is where your business is. What happened? What was good? Like, literally, every call she says, what was good, what's okay, and what was bad. And then we address those, and then she, like, teaches me, like, all right, from you're here, this is the next step, you know? And then next week we come back, and she's like, okay, you're here, this is the next step. Like, that has literally been so helpful, because there's so many things to do as an entrepreneur. Literally, it never ends. And being able to have somebody there to be like, all right, this is where you're at. This is what you need to do next. Don't worry about all this. Just do this, you know? And then to know that, like, all right, I got to do this because next week I got to have it done, you know?
That's
huge. That has been the most valuable thing so far, like, Yeah.
That's really dope, man. When did you first get connected? Like, when did you first have the initial thought of, like, let me get a business coach? Was it at that exact moment when you attended that session, or did you ever have that thought beforehand?
So I kind of thought, like, yeah, it would be cool if there was somebody who could, like, help me out, you know. But I didn't even know it was, like, called the coach, you know. Like, I just was like, yeah, it would be cool if somebody could, like, help me with my business. Like, I didn't really think anybody would be able to, like, spend that much time, you know, like, to spend that time with me to be able to, like, really help me. And then I met her at that event. And then I didn't even think much of it at the event because I was just so focused on, like, absorbing what they were teaching us. But we met, we like talked a lot afterwards. Like, after the event, a lot of people left, but it was in Georgia. So, like, I had to wait for my Uber, and she was waiting for her husband to come pick her up. So we like talked a lot for those 3 days, you know, afterwards. And so we kind of got pretty cool. And then, I don't remember what happened. The last day I asked her about what she does. She was like, yeah, you know, I help, you know, startup entrepreneurs and all that stuff, help them get to the next step, you know, in their business. And she was asking me about my business, and I was telling her, and she was like, oh my God, I could so help you. Like, and that was when I was like, bet, sold, let's do it, you know? And so I had to save up a little bit we didn't start right away.
No.
It was like, for her services, to have her as a coach, it's like a 13-week program, you know, every Monday for 13 weeks. Well, it's like 3 weeks on, 1 week off. But it's $3,000. So it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. But like $3,000, and then I did $1,000 revenue right after that. You know, so like,
so you know, you pay for itself at this point.
Yeah, extremely valuable. And totally worth it. But I did a payment plan too. So it's like $1,000. It's like 900 something for 3 months.
That's amazing.
But yeah, so that was kind of like how that started and when I got started with her. And then I heard this quote too, I think from Jim Rohn, and he was saying like, no, I think it was from Lewis Howes actually. He was saying like, athletes understand that like, they need a coach, you know, in order to keep growing, in order to be successful, they need somebody to be there like from the outside and be like, all right, this is where you're at, this is what you need to do, and like to hold them accountable. And then she was like, and I think for so many people, if they would treat their business the same way, it would be so valuable for them. And I find that to be 100% accurate. Like after I started working with two, like not only just the stuff that she was like teaching me and stuff, but just that accountability, like knowing that I better have what she told me to do done on Monday.
Yeah.
Or I'm wasting our time and I'm wasting my money, you know?
No, that's huge.
Yeah.
Curiosity, in the whole process of doing this, what would you say was what was the most important thing you've learned through this whole process outside of just that singular component? Like just through the whole process of coaching and having like a mentee-mentor relationship like that?
I think one of the biggest things, there's so many things, honestly, but you said the biggest.
What's top of mind for you, I guess?
So there's two things top of mind right now. One, the accountability, knowing like I'm every Monday, you know. But then the other thing is like one of the things that she told me that I literally play this in my mind a lot too is like she told me this almost every time. She's like, you know, you're doing the work, you know, and you're starting to get the results. If you just keep doing the work, you're going to get the results, you know. And I think because sometimes it doesn't happen right away. And so you feel like I literally spent 12 hours today, worked my freaking butt off, and no sales, like nothing, you know, because it doesn't happen right away. But like, you know, she says that almost every call. She's like, you're doing it, just keep doing it. Even if it doesn't look like it's paying off today, you end up having 1 week where it all pays off, you know, like, and like, I think that has been so valuable for me because there's so many times where I'm like, I'll be working so hard, and I literally talked about this in the YouTube video that I'm uploading on Tuesday. I was like, I will literally work so hard in the wrong direction, or I'll literally work so hard and like no results. And then tomorrow I'm like, maybe I'll just watch a movie today. Like, I don't really feel like doing all that again and nothing, you know? And like that I play that in my mind so many times, like just keep doing the work and you're going to get the results.
What advice would you have for someone that's kind of in that mindset of like, I need that instant gratification, and, how do you get yourself to unlearn like that type of mindset?
So honestly, I think that's such a good question. So I think,
is it literally what type of content you're consuming, what voices you're kind of filling your head with, or is it more to it?
Yeah, I had to take it this step by step, because I think we're pretty much all conditioned for like instant gratification at this point. And so what I had to do was like, I think the biggest thing that helped me really like work, get better at like not expecting everything right away was the Think and Grow Rich movie. So they created a movie. Yeah. If you know, it's so good. I've literally watched it.
Oh, like Think and Grow Rich? What was it?
Yeah, Think and Grow Rich. They created a movie.
Who was it by?
It's through the Think and Grow Rich Foundation, and I think it's by John C. Shin. He's the one who like produced it.
Okay.
But if you go on Think and Grow Rich, if you type in TGR movie on Google, it will pop up. It'll be the first thing. Okay. It's so good. But I had wanted to read Think and Grow Rich, literally. But it's just so big. Like, it's such a big book. It was literally written 100 years ago. Like, it's hard to read, you know? Mm-hmm. I was even on the phone with the customer support lady for the movie, and she's like, it's hard. Like, it's hard to read that thing. And so I never read it, you know? And after watching the movie, I literally was like, I have to read this. Like, this is the blueprint, you know? And so I started reading it, and I was just so interested, and I was, like, learning so much. And I think it was at that point that I was like, if I take my time, like, this can happen more. Like, I can learn so much more. Like, I can, like, and it literally just made me be like, all right, well, the more time that it takes to do this or to get the result or whatever is worth it, you know? And after that, like, I literally just started trying to do that with everything. I started trying to take my time with more things. Another thing that helped out a lot was knowing, like, how I'm spending my time. So that I know that, like, okay, this is my time to chill. So I don't need to, like, you know, rush anything. You know, like, stuff like that. Or, this is my time where I'm working on my YouTube video. I need to get it done during this time. And that's it. And I'm not worried about anything else. I'm not trying to do anything else. This is only times for my YouTube channel, you know? And I think that really helped out a lot with me starting to, like, bring it back and, like, be like, okay, things take time. Things take time, period. Yeah, you know,
this is true.
And so yeah, that helped out a lot. And then I think the more you just practice it, I think it really helps out a lot. And then like just telling yourself like, you know, like this is gonna pay off. It's gonna pay off. It's gonna pay off. It's gonna pay off. It's gonna pay off. You know, like, yeah.
For sure. Out of curiosity, are there any like other resources or things you do to supplement your learning outside of you know, the coaching and that particular resource you just mentioned?
So I actually, every morning I will like listen to an audiobook. So pretty much how my morning routine goes is I get up, I grab my dog, I go for a run.
Yeah.
It's a quick run, but just to get like the blood flowing and everything. I just go for a quick run. It's literally like, I mean, sometimes I'm really feeling it and I'll be out there for like 30 minutes, but a lot of times like 10 minutes, just running around the block, come back. And to give my dog some exercise too. Then I come back in and I hop in the shower. And then when I get in the shower, then I get out, I get ready. Then I go make breakfast. When I'm making breakfast, I'm listening to an audiobook. So, and normally I try to, because this is a big lesson that helped me a lot, was like to stop learning stuff just in case, you know, learn what you need right now, you know, because you're not going to remember it. You're not going to remember it, you know? So I just learned, like, if there's something specifically like a challenge over my, like right now for me, manufacturing, I don't know anything about manufacturing. So that's one of the things that I'm going to start, you know, spending a lot more time to learn about, because that's relevant right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need to go learn, I don't know, something random just in case I need it one day, because I'm not going to remember it, you know? And so that was a piece of advice. I don't remember who I got that from, but it made a big difference. So every morning while I'm making breakfast, I'm learning something. And then, yeah, that's the bulk of like learning things, unless there's something like specifically like at the moment that I really need to know, then I'll like go and like learn it, you know? But yes, that's how I've been like just trying to stay learning things over the day. And then especially too, like as a leader, like when you start to, you know, get into leadership and stuff like that. I heard at that sales training that I was at, it was like, people want to drink from a running river. I don't remember exactly how they said it. It was really good though. But pretty much what it was saying is like, you have to keep it coming in so that it can keep coming out. Because if you don't keep it coming in, it's going to dry up, you know, and then there's going to be nothing, you know, for all the people who are depending on this river to give them the water that they need. Or it was something along the lines of that, but yeah.
Okay. I'm curious.
Oh, wait, I can't hear you. I can hear you a little bit, but it's like really low. Like, sort of, kind of.
All right, is it good now?
It's good now.
All right, there we go. I was going to ask you, what have your experiences just been as a Black entrepreneur?
It's been pretty good. I definitely think, I don't personally see that it's been like harder than if I was like a different race or something. Like, I definitely don't think that. But I think I do want to say that I think there are a lot of people who do feel that way. And the thing that I keep like in my mind is like, you can't control what you can't control. So focus on what you can. Like, literally, it does no good for you to be like, I'm not white, so I don't get privilege, or I don't get this, or I don't get that, you know? It's like, it does no good for you. So, you know, so just like focus on like, okay, everybody, you know, has the ability to go on Google and learn what they need to learn, you know, do what they need to do. And if you really want it, you know, then just figure it out, you know? So, but me personally, like I, haven't felt at least like I'm disadvantaged or anything. It's been cool. You know, it's been a learning process. I do think that me being able to be exposed to entrepreneurship definitely helped a lot. You know, with the whole journey, just because I knew like what I was able to see what was possible, you know, because you don't know what you don't know. Right. But yeah, it's been good.
That's what's up. What's the demographics like in Virginia? Cause I know in Iowa, it's like only less than, it's like 5% of Iowa's Black. It's such a small number. So that the concept of, you can't be what you can't see is like, that's even more prevalent here. So having those examples really does make a huge difference.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I don't know the exact, like percentage here.
Yeah.
I do know that there are more, like I live in a pretty diverse city. I live in Virginia Beach. Okay. And this is like a super tourist area during the summer. So, I live in a pretty diverse area, and then it's pretty big. Like, our city population is 450,000. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty diverse here. But I do know there are definitely like some states in Virginia that are like predominantly white. And then there are some states in Virginia that are like predominantly
cities
minority. But there's a lot of like Latino, there's like a lot of the cities like little Northern Virginia are like super like Latino dense. So yeah, I don't know how that happened, but
no, it's dope to have a diverse set of people there like that though.
Yeah. So
kind of going through some hard times right now with COVID-19. I was curious, has it impacted you, your business, or your family in any way? And if so, what have you been doing to kind of adjust?
Yes. So in the beginning, it was rough. Yeah. I was like, but I think what happened was I was playing all these scenarios in my head that never happened. Like I was literally like, cause the biggest thing that first happened was I couldn't work my part-time job, but then they found some virtual work for us to be able to do now. But in the beginning, like I was like, how am I going to like pay for, you know, stuff I got paid for, you know? Yeah. And so that was a scare in the beginning, but I was like, all right, cool. Well, I can, you know, if I really hustle with this candle company, like I might be able to make this happen, you know? And then they were talking about shutting down, like putting everybody on lockdown. So I was like, what am I going to, like, how am I going to send orders if the post office shuts down? Mind you, we're a month, 2 months in, and the post office never shut down. I just created that in my head. And that was literally holding me back. Like, literally. Like, I was so, like, strung up on, like, what if the post office closes? You know, and they never close. And, like, so it took me talking myself out of it and being like, okay, well, that's not the case. If that happens, you'll handle it when it happens. But right now, that's not the case. So you better sell some freaking candles, you know? So that was how it affected me in the beginning. And then, yeah, I think because, you know, so many people are in and, you know, didn't have the ability to go out some more, there's a lot of, I can't remember the exact term for it, but like all the people who went to happy hour all the time and ate out all the time, all that money they're saving, like they can't spend it now, but they want to. And so I find a lot of like e-commerce like went up, you know, during.
Oh, it was booming.
Yeah. So that it definitely helped in that respect. And then, yeah, as far as like my family impacted. So we did have my parents, it kind of affected my parents more so than like me and my sister, but cause my parents, they lost six friends, like six of their from school. So that was like a little like, it was a little like rough on them, because they were just like, oh my goodness, like what is going on? But they live in New York, you know, so like a lot of people in New York, you know. But yeah, so they did lose six friends. And then my stepdad's mom actually this past week just passed away, but it wasn't due to COVID. Like, she was just like, they were kind of expecting it, you know, soon. But yeah, so it hasn't been like too bad. You know, there's have been some like, oh, that sucks, you know, but I think the biggest thing is, you know, just like for me, there's just like always something to be grateful for, you know, and like that's just what I like kind of decide to focus on, you know, because, you know, being like angry or mad or upset or like who did this or why me or why this, you know, like it only makes things worse.
No, you
know?
Sure.
So I just like, even if like, you know, something bad happens, like there's a million other things to be grateful for. You know, I have breath in my lungs, you know, if that's not something to be grateful for, I don't know what is, you know? So yeah.
No, beautiful though. You gotta be grateful for the little things in life like that.
Yeah.
One thing, you know, that's like a big stigma kind of just in a lot in like our community, but when it comes to mental health, it's not something that's necessarily talked about too much. And, you know, you mentioned for you some of the things that, you know, adversity you faced and stress you kind of dealt with. But for some of the folks out there are kind of dealing with, you know, stress or just issues with mental health, what advice would you have for them on how to kind of work through those issues rather than kind of like almost internalizing it?
Yeah. The biggest thing is just talk about it. Talk about it to somebody. Like literally, and I was talking to my sister about this actually. My sister studies psychology. And I was asking her, like, what makes life so bad that somebody would be willing to take their own life? You know, like, I can't grasp it, you know, but what she was saying that this is what happens. Somebody who is suicidal, right?
Yeah.
They don't, and not to say that this is a context, but just to give you like, it'll come back around and make sense. But so for somebody that's suicidal, you know, whatever happened or whatever is like bad in their life, that's that. They don't want to talk about it though, because if I tell you like, hey, I think, you know, I don't want to be here anymore or whatnot, they know that you're going to overreact, and they don't want that, you know, like they just want help, you know? And so that's why a lot of times they just don't say anything. They just keep it to themselves, like, you know, and so they don't say anything because of that, or they don't say anything because I know you're going to talk me out of it. And I don't want you to talk me out of it. I made my decision already. I know what I want to do now. So they don't talk about it, right? And so then what happens is, because they're not talking about it, what's going on in their mind is everything that's bad, everything that's negative, everything that's wrong is just playing in their mind over and over again. And what you focus on expands. And if that's all they're focused on, literally, it's like life is pointless. because this is all there is to life. Because this is all there is to life in their head. And it takes somebody else to put something else in there that can change all of that. But how are you going to do that if I don't know, because you didn't tell me, because you don't want to talk about it, because you know I'm going to try to talk you out of it. And so it's like so hard. But the biggest thing is just to talk about it. Like literally, there was a point, there literally a year ago, I was like considering dropping out of school because I was like, you know, this degree isn't teaching me anything for real. The information is outdated, blah, 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 blah. And literally it was as simple as, okay, change your major. It was that simple. But, you know, in my own head,
yeah,
the only things I were playing were, you know, this is annoying. They're not teaching me anything. I'm not going to be able to use this. Like, this is so pointless, blah, 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 blah. And what it took was me finally getting to a point where I was so stressed out that I was just like, I have to tell somebody. I need help. Yeah. So I got to that point where I was like, I cannot take this anymore. Like, I need help. And then so I talked to somebody, and then they just like, well, you know, why don't you just change what you're doing? Like, switch, you know? Nothing wrong with that, you know? And literally, just like that, it was just like, wow.
Your silence can really empower those negative thoughts to the point where they expand like that. And it's like you said, it becomes dangerous and it expands and starts to build up. But simply just having that conversation gives you a new perspective of, oh, wow, like,
yeah,
I was having that tunnel vision. I just need to take the step back.
Yeah. And so the biggest thing is just to talk about it. And I know, and this is something that is kind of sucks, is that, you know, a lot of times, especially in our community and especially with men, you know, it's always a thing that like you're not allowed to be sensitive. You're not allowed to be emotional. Like, it's always man up. It's always like all this stuff. And so for those people who feel they're in those situations, literally just find somebody else. Like, I don't care if you have to email an old teacher from middle school. Like, just find somebody else who will listen to you, you know? Because I know for a lot of people in their situation, if they went to their dad would tell them to man up, you know? If they went to their mom would probably be like, oh, cool. You know? Like, and this is how it is, you know?
That's a very valid point, too, because sometimes they might even have friends and they might feel that way.
Yeah.
Yet their friends wouldn't do that to them. But it's just the simple concept or idea of, like, being judged, or that fear of being judged in that way can make that person internalize it in that way. But it's like you said, you have to go the extra step. You can find someone else, and you can always
literally just
it's a hard hurdle to get over, though. That mental hurdle is very hard to get over. I know for even myself, like my community, that's something that was very hard to, but like now I'm at a point where in my friend group, that's just like day to day combo now.
And yeah, I'm like, literally just open your mouth about it. Like, literally just does so much that you
were always comfortable talking about it for yourself, or was that something that took you a while to kind of get to that point?
It depended on the topic. Like, it depended on what was going on. For most things, I'm an open book. I literally do not care, you know? But like in the situation where I was like thinking about dropping out of college, like some of my close friends like knew, like, and I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. Like, this is so pointless and whatever. And for them, they were just sort of like, okay, well, I'll support you in whatever you want to do, you know? And so that was kind of how that was. But for me to like go to my parents or like anybody at my, like pretty much anybody outside of like my close friends, you know, I did not talk about it. Like I was just like quiet. Like everybody thought I was so okay, you know? And then it got to that day where I was like, I just can't take this anymore. And then I called this guy, his name is Frank. He is he had recently sold this company. He sold a bunch of companies. He started and sold a bunch of companies before. He's like super rich. and he's like, I met him at school, and then we like kept the relationship going. And he's been really great, like personally, I go to, and like he helps me out with things like that. And I just gave him a call, and I was just like, this is, I don't know what to do. And he was one who just like, well, you hang in there, you got this, you know, like just don't give up, you know, whatever you do, just don't give up. So then after that conversation, and he told me too about us, he opened up too about stories of him going through the same thing, which is another thing. A lot of times, you're not the only one, even though it feels like it, you know?
I had those thoughts, too, of, like, dropping out of college. Like, do I really want to be here, like, type thing.
Yeah, and he was like, you know, he told me about situations where he went through the same exact thing that I called somebody else. They said they went through the same exact thing and I called somebody else. And they're like, they went through the same exact thing. And after a while, it started to feel normal. Like, what I'm going through right now is normal. Everybody goes through it because literally, you know, it feels like, oh, this is only me. But like, literally, when you just start talking about it, you find out that you're not the only one. And then, you know, as I started talking about it more and more, it just got more comfortable up until it just became like, oh, that was old. That's news. That was old news now, you know?
So knowing what you know now and seeing where you are now, how you kind of define success for yourself?
I would say that success is, I think I got this quote from Think and Grow Rich actually, but it's like success is the progressive realization of a worthy idea or goal, right? So, and the reason I always say that and always remind myself is that it's so easy to like watch other people and start comparing yourself to what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
They're not doing the same thing as you, you know, and you're successful as long as you're making progress, literally. End of story. Like literally. So, you know, I feel like a lot of people, myself included, I used to do this all the time. I would like watch like other people's like success stories and watch them get big wins. And I would call it like inspiring, you know, like, oh, this is inspiring me, but then I wouldn't go do anything. Like, okay, it didn't inspire you if you literally just scrolled and watched the next thing, you know, like you literally didn't do any, you didn't take any action. You didn't move towards whatever you're trying to do. And so, that's what success is for me. It's just moving forward, literally, even if it's just one step, because it's literally, I have this sticky on my computer just to remind me.
Literally, one step.
Yeah, literally, that's, you're successful if you're moving forward. So,
and I have one last question, but before I ask that, I want to ask you this. If you could put yourself in my shoes today, is there any questions you would have asked yourself that I didn't?
Yeah, I don't know.
I always like to, at the end of the interview, I always like to ask that question just to see if there's anything that
I wanted to say that like, you didn't ask or anything. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Well, that's perfectly fine. And one thing I also like to do is I also like to record people's progression. So a year from now or maybe 2 years from now, have you on the podcast again just to see your progression. Maybe you're LA at this time. We can just hear about your transition in the story. Yeah. But my last question to you then is going to be this. So knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self if you could go back in time?
The same thing. One step. You know, I feel like I literally spent like years, like 2 years, like just talking about what I was going to do and knowing that like I can't achieve it tomorrow, and so I just keep talking about it, and like I'll just keep watching the videos and listening to the motivational things and literally not doing anything or moving anywhere. And like once I was able to like call myself out on that and be like, dude, you literally like, and end of the day, dude, you literally didn't make any progress. You didn't even move, you didn't move one needle, you know, towards your goal. Like, and I just kept like grilling myself on that until eventually I was just like, all right, every day I wake up, I'm like, what can I do to get me closer to my goal? And then I'll write out a bunch of stuff and I'll be like, okay, if I do these things, will it move me closer? And the answer is yes, then cool. When am I going to do it? And I'll just pick like what times I'm going to work on what, and then I just do it, you know? And like, we're just keeping it reminding like one step, and like if you do the work, you're going to get the results, you know? Like that would be the biggest thing. Like I wish I would have like just known that and like took that to heart like way sooner, because I would be so much farther right now,
you know? Most definitely.
If I was working like I'm working now a year ago, man, it'd be insane, you know? But yeah,
that's dope. I was gonna ask too, if someone's watching this right now and want to kind of reach out to you, connect, or maybe ask some questions, what would the best way to reach out to you be?
So Instagram is probably the best way. If you send me a DM, because I'm on Instagram a lot. So my Instagram is at Kobe Lomax, KobyLomax. Just send me a DM on Instagram. That's the best way.
Perfect. Thank you again for taking time to do this interview, man. I really appreciate it.
Much love. No problem.